pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in Central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Danny Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Wednesday. Wednesdays mean Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report. We'll be talking with Bob coming up in just a little bit. And we're also going to be talking a little Iowa State football coming your way today as we catch up with the main man from the Des Moines Register.
Andrew Loeb set to join us.
All right, that'll be great. He's up at the bottom of the hour. But state champions are starting to be crowned. Congratulations to Kearney Catholic's girls golf team, winning their first ever Class C state championship. Also, Minden, the runner-up, so congratulations to them as well and to all the medalists from the area. The state softball tournament is set to get underway this afternoon in Hastings for Class A. Class B and C will get going tomorrow. District cross country is tomorrow across the state of Nebraska, and conference volleyball tournaments are continuing. So a lot going on in the local sports world.
Doug, local sports world. On the national scene, I think, obviously, the Dallas Cowboys. And yesterday that was just about as bizarre of a day as you could get. They suspend Pac-Man Jones, but then the news comes down, and facts are being gathered. Roger Goodell was not amused with Pac-Man Jones. But then the word came down that Roy Williams would be added to the Dallas roster. First, third, and sixth-round draft pick. First, third, Derek shaking his head. Derek, way too much?
Yeah, too much, I think. Roy Williams, he did have 82 catches a couple years ago and made the Pro Bowl, but and you're giving up three draft picks for a receiver you're adding to an offense that already has plenty of passing threats, and now you're going to have T.O. complaining about touches because Roy Williams going to get his.
Oh, that's not true. T.O. was the first one to call Roy Williams. Welcome him to the team. He's a team player, Derek. Haven't you been around?
Yeah, he also said that he loved playing with Donovan McNabb when he was there and then immediately trashed him when he left. And so he'll be trashing Roy Williams in a couple of weeks.
You know, what are you thinking if you're Patrick Creighton, Sam Hurd, one of those guys that's been playing pretty well?
Creighton's catches are going to go down.
Douglas, too much? First, third, and sixth?
Depends how many draft picks they have next year. But, yeah, it's too much. No way should they have given anything more than a first-round pick for Roy Williams. Randy Moss was traded for a fourth-round draft pick. Let's put that in perspective.
Interesting. That's a good thought.
Well, of course it's a good thought. It's me. It's not you. It's me. You're lucky we have guests today because it could be 45 minutes of me just going after you because I don't feel good about myself today.
What's wrong?
I want to feel better about myself and, you know, being with you just does that.
I have that effect on people.
Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox. That's exactly what they needed. Fast Willie chimes in. Hey, Brokeback boys, what a great day to be a Cowboy fan with the signing of Roy Williams. That's exactly what the Cowboys are in need of, another wide receiver. We all know that wide receivers win championships. After all, it's been proven time and again. Or is it defense that wins championships? No, that can't be right. It's definitely wide receivers. I'm hearing the Cowboys went after Roy Williams because Ray Carruth wasn't available. Have either of you heard anything about that? Fast Willie.
No, I haven't heard anything about that. You are correct. Roy Williams is going to have a terrible time playing cornerback or safety. And that seems to be where the team would need a little push at this time, not at wide receiver.
Ken chimes in, I hate to say it, but I think Brad Johnson will actually help the Cowboys win. The body language shown by Romo last Sunday told me he was losing confidence. Hope he heals quickly so the Cowboys can get back to losing. Ken.
See, Brad Johnson, and you can say what you want about Brad Johnson. He's 40 years old. He doesn't have the arm that's going to go down the field. Like when you see T.O. pull away or Randy Moss or one of those, and they just throw it up 60 yards down the field, you're not going to see that Brad Johnson. But I don't think you're going to see Brad Johnson throwing picks that are going to lose you a football game either. And that's the good news with having a veteran quarterback back him up.
Later in the program, an email from H-Man in Riverdale.
He's back again.
Yeah, guess who's back? Back again. 1-888-455-ESPN. That's the phone number. You can email us anytime. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. This, my friend, is a huge day in history. A huge day in history. The greatest moment many of us have ever seen in the World Series is 20 years old today.
I thought you were talking.
Oh, no. See, I knew that's what you'd think. But this is bigger. Kirk Gibson's home run in Game 1 of the World Series.
I can't believe what I just saw.
Yeah.
20 years ago. Has that healed yet?
Still got bags of ice on his knees. So that was 20 years ago off Dennis Eckersley propelling the Dodgers over the Oakland A's. Maybe one of the very, very, very few times I ever rooted for the Dodgers. Because that was pretty cool.
Are you rooting for the Dodgers?
No. God, no. Anybody but. And the Phillies Rays, I will watch. See, I will watch Phillies Rays in between all the football.
You know, I just think the national perception out there was, and I said yesterday, could it be that the Rays are just the best team, absolutely from start to finish? Them saying during the broadcast last night, this is a young team. Where all the Boston players are limping around, camping around, they're hobbled, it's late in the season, the bumps and bruises haven't healed. The Devil Rays are all healed up. The 23-year-old kid gets hit. 4 or 5 days later, he feels good again.
Never underestimate hunger, which I know you never do. Never underestimate hunger. Let's face it. If the Patriots had never won the Super Bowl, do you think they would have won last year? I do. If the Boston Red Sox had never won the World Series with this group of guys, do you think maybe they'd be ahead in this series? Well, not necessarily, but maybe. There's a lot of teams out there. And, you know, Tampa Bay maybe won't be near as good next year. Doesn't mean they won't, but, you know, maybe they've got all the pieces are fitting into place for this team. And I'm sick and tired of all the folks rooting against Tampa Bay because they think Boston's better or they thought the White Sox are better or they thought the Yankees would catch up. You know what? How long is it going to take you to realize that Tampa Bay is the best team in the American League? They're the best team left. They're better than Philly. I mean, they just are. Now you go up and down their lineup, maybe not so much, but they as a team, record-wise, the way they're playing. Now, I think many people would have said that the Chicago Cubs are the best team for talent in Major League Baseball. The Angels, more talent than the Rays. There's more talent out there, but a lot of these guys have won championships. Not the Cubs, of course. But Tampa Bay, nobody.
Douglas, I put you on the spot. Bigger upset, Tampa Bay to this point, or Fresno State winning the College World Series?
Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay had to win 90-some games and then go into the playoffs. The Fresno State thing, great story, but just the whole, they weren't in all perception a 4 seed. Say what you want about comparing them to the NCAA tournament. They were a preseason top 20 team. They were a preseason top 20 team. Now this morning, Tim Kurchin says if Tampa Bay wins the World Series, it would be a bigger upset or a bigger miracle than the Miracle Mets of 1969, and that is as grand a stage as you can put it on. From worst to first expansion team, and the Mets were horrid. And they turn around and won it. And he thought Tampa Bay would even be a bigger story.
You know, John Kirk and Steve Phillips going back and forth. Steve Phillips couldn't believe they weren't having a batting practice and taking infield today, where Joe Maddon basically just said, boys, great work. Take a day off tomorrow. We'll see you back at the ballpark come Thursday.
Well, they should be playing today. That's the bottom line. They should be playing today. Today's game one of the World Series 20 years ago. Game one of the World Series is next Thursday. Even if both series end tomorrow, we have a full week off. It's unacceptable. It is unacceptable. You wonder why you're losing fan interest? People forget about you. There's nothing wrong with having a doubleheader today. it's okay to play before 8:20 Eastern time. It's okay to do that. God knows it'd get us out of the office a little earlier. 1-888-455-ESPN. You can email the Dead Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. You have the smallest handwriting in the history of the world.
Yeah, I do. I just...
You know, of all... No, I'm not doing it. I'm not blowing up watch on the air. We're going to talk Husker football at the bottom of the hour with some guy from the Des Moines Register, Andrew Logue. Well, we love Andrew. That's fine. But, you know, whatever.
What's wrong?
You could be a doctor.
Where'd the anger come from?
Also, Bob Jensen. No, I can't say that either. How's it going today, Derek? Has everything been working okay for you?
Yeah, everything's fine.
Really?
Yeah.
You sure?
I've had a decent morning.
I mean, here?
Oh, yeah, here. Yeah.
Oh, okay, all right.
No problems.
All right. Just checking. Don't forget, you can log on to the ESPN website, the Doug and Daddy website at ESPNSuperstation.com. Vote on the poll question. And that is, who is the best team in the NFL? Tomorrow is our NFL Power Rankings, and obviously controversy will be at the top of the page when we talk Power Rankings tomorrow. Basketball practice begins today for UNK. And it's rolling in. The Huskers start this week. Hastings going. You know, we've got all that going on as well. One other thing. It was the 20-year anniversary of Kirk Gibson, but it's the one-year anniversary. Well, let's see. We wait 2 hours, and it's almost the exact one-year anniversary. And I'm waiting to hear from you, Husker Nation. The firing of Steve Peterson took place 1 year ago today. Would Nebraska's football team be in better shape had Steve Peterson and Bill Callahan still been here, Tony?
Wow.
Because you hate the Huskers right now.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, you do.
I certainly do not hate the Huskers now. No, they would not have been in a better place. You know what? People ask all the time. If Callahan would have got rid of Cosgrove, would he still be the head coach? I say no to the whole. I say no to everything. When Tom Osborne, at this day, changed Husker Nation to get the ship righted. Everything to do with Husker football. And it had to do with getting people back to the tradition. That started once. And then the walk-on deal was number two. And then I think Bo Pelini embracing everything that is Husker football was three. And putting the staff together that did that as well was all part of that.
Well, let's go to H-Man from Riverdale, who has fired up the following email. After listening to all of your keen and penetrating assessments of the Texas Tech game, I have concluded I am dumber for listening. Did you all really watch the game that was actually played? Virtually all you seem to actually believe is that the Nebraska defense played an acceptable game. Really? 7 Texas Tech offensive possessions in regulation and 5 scores. That equates to 71% failure rate for the Nebraska defense. 1 Texas Tech offensive possession in the overtime, 1 score. That's 100% failure rate for the Nebraska defense. And yet most of you seem to think that black shirt ceremony should be held this week. Are you kidding me? Anyone who thinks the black shirt should come out of their North Stadium vaults this week? What is that word, H? I don't know what that word is. Please stay home on November 4th. The defense was horrible against Texas Tech. Totally unacceptable. Nebraska is slow and apparently stupid. We have players that seem to have their minds blank out during each play. But for the most part, it's not their fault. We have a bunch of D2 athletes trying to play Big 12 football. Another thanks to the legacy of Billy Joe and his hacks. I could go on to how Joe Gann should be playing intramural flag football instead of in the Big 12, but we'll save that for another time. You all really need to start watching the Nebraska games with your minds and not your hearts. I continue to believe we will win 7 games due to this coaching staff, but every game will be a slog. We are getting great effort, but a great effort by a marshmallow against a brick wall isn't a pretty sight. H-Man from Riverdale.
I think some of the, I don't know if you call it, a lack of knowledge maybe is showing up because Amakamura and Colbert both held out of the defensive back rotation. Colbert's a junior. If you're being held out as a junior because you don't understand the system, I realize it's a new system, but you should be able to adapt to some of the college principles. I would assume some of the principles that were taught were similar, at least, in the defensive backfield. If you can't put him in as a junior, we've got this guy around for his senior year, and hopefully he'll have it down by then so we can get him in the game.
Your thoughts, 1-888-455-ESPN. You can email us, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. We'll take a break and be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
It's that same satisfaction you got from pulling the arm off a Cabbage Patch doll.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, good times. The Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Ah, autumn. The colors, the smells, the sounds, the leaves dropping off trees. But leaves aren't the only things hitting the ground at Kearney Yamaha this fall. Kearney Yamaha has dozens of Yamaha ATVs at rock bottom prices. Stop by Kearney Yamaha today and check out the low pricing on new Yamaha Grizzly ATVs. Or if you already have an ATV, get in and see their great accessories like snowblades, hunting gear, and drop baskets. The prices are slashed to sell. So if you want to save on Yamaha ATVs, apparel, and accessories, head to where prices are dropping like leaves this fall at Kearney Yamaha. Years of experience and a huge selection. Kearney Yamaha, Nebraska's power sports mall, just south of the Kearney I-80.
Personal watercraft. ATVs, just the motorcycle that'll suit your needs. Nebraska's Power Sports Mall, Kearney Yamaha. Nebraska's Power Sports Mall, Kearney Yamaha.
Hi folks, this is Darrell Waltrip, NASCAR champion and the proud owner of a geothermal heating and cooling system from Water Furnace. You know, I learned a long time ago that to be a winner, well, you got to have the best machine and the best team. That's why my new home is heated and cooled by Water Furnace Geothermal. It's clean, reliable, economical, and here's the best part. It's made in the USA. Now, in my book, that's a winning combination. So call your local Water Furnace dealer today.
Call Fidelki Heating and Air today.
Here's a story big business didn't want you to know. It's about the ViewCube satellite receiver, compatible with DirecTV or the Dish Network. Manufacturers love it. When truck stops, sell it for $1,299 or more. But here's the part they don't want you to hear. Rich & Sons Camper Sales of Grand Island sells it for only $699. Anything less and, well, you don't want to know what might happen. The ViewCube takes portable satellite viewing to the next level. See Rich & Sons soon for the ViewCube. Go to ESPNSuperstation.com. Click on the Rich & Sons ad to see the ViewCube. At $699, they won't last long. Every Friday, Doug and Daddy's College Football Pick'em can win you a gift certificate to Johnny Casinos. Between 11 and noon every Friday during the football season, Johnny Casinos, west side of the Conestoga Mall, reminding you that what goes on during parts of Doug and Daddy is brought to you by Johnny Casino.
At Uncle Ed's Steakhouse in Grand Island, we're proud to present exciting dining choices. Our legendary steaks are personally selected from our exclusive aged premium reserve beef. Sensational entrees like our premium glazed lamb chops and pecan-crusted Chilean sea bass will contribute to your experience. You can view the entire menu on our website. Join us for a relaxing and enjoyable dining experience at Uncle Ed's Steakhouse in Grand Island, where steaks are our passion, excellence is our promise.
We'll see some lingering cloud cover early on yet today, followed by more clearing developing with a slight chance for a shower to the east of Kearney early. High temperatures reach near 57 with a north wind of 10 to 20. Tonight we'll see a hard freeze possible with partly cloudy skies and a low near 30. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 45.
Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us as we continue on this Wednesday program. Bob Jensen from Husker Land Prep going to join us, talk a little high school football in the second segment today. But right now, we continue our talk about Husker football and their opponent as we take our weekly preview of the opponent this week, the Iowa State Cyclones, who Daddy thinks will win the football game.
Andrew Logue joins us from the Des Moines Register to see if the Cyclones will win the football game. Andrew, do you see it the same way I do?
Not unless Iowa State plays a little more consistent. I think the Cyclones are the kind of team that can bite somebody, and they almost bit Kansas 2 weeks ago. The thing that hurts them is inconsistency, I mean, making mental mistakes, and also not having a steady running game.
And Andrew, I've got to go back to the last week's game against Baylor. How much controversy, and do you feel it affected the game with Phillip Bates leaving in the middle of the week like he did?
You know, was it a distraction or an unwanted distraction? I think that would be true. But I also think you would be selling Baylor a little bit short. They've got some speed. Griffin's a pretty good quarterback, threw the ball better than maybe some of us would have expected. But, you know, the bottom line is Iowa State's just been one of those teams that's kind of teetered all year of either pulling off an upset or maybe breaking through with a win. And those are the kind of teams that kind of take a pratfall sometime, and that's what happened in Waco, Texas.
Well, Andrew, let's take a look at the departure of Phillip Bates. It leaves the team a little thin at quarterback, and I guess as long as there's no injuries, there's not going to be a problem, and you're going to have a very solid quarterback. But what happens after that?
Well, then they would bring in Jerome Tiller, a highly touted recruit from San Antonio. He's a guy the coaches love. They're really high on him, but they wanted to have him spend this year as the scout team quarterback and get acclimated. And you'd be thrusting in, I don't care how talented you are, you're thrusting in a true freshman, and you don't know what that is. And they've described it as far as getting him the playbook, they've described it as baby steps, you know, getting him into the offense slowly. So if it came down to that, that would be a pretty dicey situation, and that's not a statement on Jerome Tiller's talent, but just the experience and what he's been exposed to so far.
Andrew, coming from the success that a coach like Gene Chizik has had where other places he's been, what is his sense of urgency to win right now, or does he realize it's just going to take a few years?
I think he realizes it's going to take a few years, and I think in the big picture he realized that. But he also, you talked about the urgency, he is out to set a standard, and he doesn't want people... You know, oh, it's okay, we came close against Texas, against Kansas. You know, he wants opportunities. He wants a team to seize the opportunity. So, you know, when they played the game against Kansas and lost it 35-33, he looked a little irritated. It wasn't a, hey, we have a moral victory here kind of thing. It was he saw an opportunity slip away. I think big picture-wise, that's why you're seeing so many young guys on the field, so many true freshmen, is because he is thinking big picture. But he wants results now.
Andrew Logue joins us from the Des Moines Register, talking Iowa State football. Well, Andrew, we can use the words that we've heard here in Lincoln the last 8 months, execution and consistency and things like that. But Iowa State is a totally, I mean, they're the most Jekyll and Hyde team in this conference when it comes to playing at home and playing on the road. What are the reasons for this?
I think a comfort zone. I think he opened the season with 11 true freshmen, and I think I was 6 redshirt freshmen, and I think when they're at home, sleep in their own rooms or whatever, you know, the familiar settings, I think it puts those guys more at ease, and they can, you know, they can feed off the crowd and things. When they travel, they've got to come together. I mean, the only way to have success on the road is to come through, is to pull one out, and they haven't been able to do that the last couple years, and you know, I wonder if there's a domino effect. I mean, the drive against Baylor last week, you had 6 penalties on a 17-play drive, and it was false start. It was delay of game. Just silly stuff. And it's a concentration thing that young guys are going to have to do a better job of honing in.
Andrew, I guess when you look at the Iowa State team as a whole, and you can pick special teams, defense, offense, does not matter. Is there one area which you think is very solid, which could give Nebraska fits on Saturday?
As far as an area, I think it's athleticism. It's not really an area specifically. I just think they've got some speed and size at receiver. They've got some cornerbacks. They've got guys who can make plays. Their problem is, and you saw it against Kansas, they jumped ahead 20-0. I mean, they had playmakers. But when it came to consistency, such as, okay, now we need to grind out the clock. Now we need 3 or 4 yards to carry. Now we need guys to make that little 7-yard catch that's going to get us a first down. That's where they faltered. And it snowballed at Waco, Texas, when there was false start penalties here and drop balls and personal fouls and you know, just silliness like that. They've got playmakers, and that would be the thing that would make any opponent a little uneasy. It's the consistency they've got to find.
Andrew Logue from the Des Moines Register joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show as we talk Iowa State football. Andrew, offensively, defensively, Iowa State is towards the bottom of the Big 12, and it's not like Nebraska's at the top, but the one stat that really sticks out here that there is such a discrepancy in is the turnover margin, and that is Iowa State is first in the Big 12, and Nebraska is 11th, and that's been one of the things they've been preaching all week. Well, Nebraska goes on the road against the team that is first in turnover margin in the Big 12. How are they getting it done?
They're getting it going back to the playmakers. This will be the most athletic Cyclone team Nebraska fans have seen in a while. And a great example is Reising, who Todd Reising at Kansas rarely throws an interception, but he called a sideline pattern, and I would say had a cornerback, Leonard Johnson, who could run stride for stride, and he picked the ball off. They're getting it. They have the athleticism. They're getting a little better pressure on the quarterback when the D-backs are one-on-one coverage. Now, they can blow a coverage and get burned, but they can also make the big play and make the interception. So it's a little feast or famine with the defense. They are getting the turnovers, but then there's, you know, the plays where they're giving up big touchdown plays and 34-yard bombs and things like that.
Got an email here, Daddy, this from Joe in Lincoln, who says, Iowa State's defense creates interceptions. Crap.
Yeah, Joe Gans has some struggles as of late, especially late in ball games when it really matters. But I guess aside from that, we talked about the urgency maybe in Gene Chizik. What are the fans' reaction right now with this football team?
Antsy. I don't think there's a it's not a meltdown stage, because Iowa State fans have been through growing pains before. But they're antsy, and I think Waco set kind of that tone. I think they're feeling good about themselves after a near miss at Kansas, against Kansas. But, you know, Baylor, let's be honest, they bring kind of a stigma of a struggling program, and when you get beat four touchdowns, that's a little bit of a turnoff. So I think fans are a little, you know, maybe it's a good weekend to mow my lawn kind of approach, but the fact that Nebraska is coming in, I think, is going to compensate for a lot of that.
Andrew, talk about the quarterback in Arnard. How good, I guess, he's pulled himself away from Phillip Bates. What's the strength of his game?
He throws a nice ball. He's a mature, he's established himself as a leader kind of guy. And what you saw in some games like UNLV and such, Phillip, obviously a very talented, athletic young man, and Austin showed some of that. He can have some escapability. He can move a little bit. He's more mobile than you're used to seeing from maybe Brett Meyer when he was quarterback in Iowa State. So I think he's kind of the total package, and he established himself as kind of a leader, kind of the guy. When it was 98 yards away against UNLV, he got in the huddle and took him down the field. And it was those little moments and things. Leadership is probably the thing that really started to separate him.
Andrew, just an interesting note, I guess, for Husker fans. How does Iowa State look at Nebraska now? Is this their rival? Who's their rival? How do they view Nebraska in that sense?
I think Nebraska is a rival, but let's be honest, it's Iowa State.
As far as conference, though.
As far as conference, here's the deal. I think Nebraska in years past was always a standard setter. Meaning, you know, if you could beat Nebraska, that was almost a once-a-decade kind of feat now. I think it's a rivalry and people who work side-by-side, especially out in western Iowa. But I think it's almost it's a rivalry now starting to take on the tones of an Iowa State-Kansas rivalry. What Iowa State-Missouri was is they've seen them as a team they can compete with in recent years. And I think that's how the rivalry's changed probably since the Tom Osborne era is used to be, it was a dream, you know, kind of like Cubs winning the World Series. Hopefully I'll live to see Iowa State knock off a Nebraska team. Now I think they see him as more as, we can steal one here.
Andrew, before we let you get out of here, points scored in this ballgame. Do you see a shootout or do you see it slowing down a little bit?
Well, I was looking over. I think this is the 11th and 12th, respectively, in the Big 12 in pass efficiency. So I think it'll be a lot of points. I think it's going to be a matter of consistency. I think it's going to be a matter of who can run the ball. I think they're both going to throw it a lot, but eventually the defenses will choke that off, and it's going to be who can run it. So I look for kind of a 34, kind of 20 score.
And, Tony, you look here, Nebraska has continued to struggle running the football, while the Cyclones have allowed 169 yards per game on the ground. So we talk about problems with the passing game. I almost see, and I don't know if you'll agree, Andrew, but boy, you're going to get that we need to establish the run thing and then just blitz people even more with that pass.
I think that's it, because I think both teams like to throw it, but they know they need to run it. I think Gene Chizik is 3-0 when his team can at Iowa State can rush for at least 160 yards. It hasn't happened this season, but when they are, they're 3-0.
Des Moines Register's Andrew Logue joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Andrew, thanks so much for the time this morning. And good luck this weekend traveling over to Ames.
All right, talk to you later, guys.
Take care. Andrew Long from the Des Moines Register talking Cyclone football. You know, again, as I said at the beginning of the week, the signs point that Nebraska is a better football team, and I don't think anybody's really arguing with that. You really think this is a trap game? I'm getting a better feeling about this all the time. I'm getting a better feeling about this all the time. The one thing that people keep pointing out is the way, obviously, as I asked Andrew right off the top, the huge difference between playing at home and on the road. And if Iowa State was a better football team, this schedule that they had this year set them up for a multiple above 500 win season. They beat South Dakota State and Kent State at home. Now they've lost four straight, three of those on the road. Iowa, which was a tussle till the end, but they just can't score. Lost at UNLV in overtime after UNLV had pulled off the big upset the week before over Arizona State. Then they had Kansas down 20-0 and let one slip away there. And then they go down to Baylor and get crushed. The at-Baylor game is their worst game of the year. They are coming off their worst game of the year. But here's their Big 12. Kansas, Baylor, Nebraska, A&M, Oklahoma State, Colorado, Missouri, Kansas State. Well, no Texas Tech, no Oklahoma. I mean, they got exactly what they wanted out of the South. And the North being the way it is, you know, Iowa State, they couldn't have asked for a better schedule as soon as they get good. Uh-oh. If they do.
But stealing one against Kansas would have been where the confidence would have had to start. And when you lose that one, you probably lost quite a little bit. Maybe their heads are so far down. Maybe how do you get back up? You got to have some good things happen. It's going to happen early. You know, whether you're at home or on the road, some good things have to happen for a football team like this.
We will take a break. Come back on the Doug and Daddy Show. Got some basketball news. Bob Jensen from Huskerland Prep joins us as well. Stay with us.
Arms up on the table, bend over, and spread your legs.
Quite a sight, wasn't it, sir?
A sight I'd rather not be seeing.
Blindfolds will be available at the front desk, and Doug and Daddy will be right back.
Oh, my goodness.
It's Colin Cowherd, host of The Herd on ESPN Radio. I've said it before, I won't endorse a company unless I know the people who run it and I buy into them. Well, that's what you get with Vizio, the number one U.S.-based flat panel TV company in America. I've got two Vizios myself, and I've been saying this now for over a year. With a rough economy, why pay for gas, parking, food, stay at home, watch it on TV. Say it out loud, better quality at lower prices. It makes a lot of sense. VizioTV.com.
Leaving a mark at Martinsville means muscles, moxie, and maybe a miracle or two. It's maneuvering through a mammoth maze of mighty machines, a marathon of mixing it up. Drivers would have to be magicians to make it to Monday in mint condition. Make no mistake, though, getting massively mashed, mauled, and manhandled is no metaphor here in Martinsville.
The chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup continues at Martinsville, Sunday at 1 Eastern on ABC.
The foundation of a sound marketing plan begins with an estimated cost of production. In recent weeks, AgWest Commodities has helped dozens of Western Corn Belt producers determine per bushel breakevens for 2009. Let us assist you in determining your next year's cost of production. Give us a call, 866-WE-HEDGE, or email your request through our website, goagwest.com.
You gotta go agwest.com. Go AgWest.
Friday night means live high school football action, and we've got you covered in Week 7 on ESPN 1460, Overton battles Amherst. On ESPN 1550, Grand Island Northwest is at Adams Central. On 1230 AM, Hastings St. Cecilia is at St. Paul. On Power 99 FM, Kearney Catholic is at Elm Creek. And on the Breeze 94.5 FM, Kennesaw is at Franklin. And don't forget, you can hear every single game on the World Wide Web at ESPNSuperstation.com every Friday night.
Hello, this is Coach Barry Alvarez, and you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
We'll see some lingering cloud cover early on yet today, followed by more clearing developing with a slight chance for a shower to the east of Kearney early. High temperatures reach near 57 with a north wind of 10 to 20. Tonight we'll see a hard freeze possible with partly cloudy skies and a low near 30. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 45.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Almost lunchtime, and why not the chicken coop with so much going on in the world of sports? Great lunch specials, great evening specials. There's always drink specials going on at the coop. Are they open 24 hours? Because it sure seems like it.
Not quite 24 hours, but there's eight new 42-inch flat screens awaiting you. There's not a bad seat in the house. Catch all the Husker games on at the chicken coop as well. From kickoff to close during NFL Monday Night Football, $2. You call it. Almost all drinks are just $2. Try any of our 12 flavors of flame-broiled chicken wings. Best wings in town. We can run them all down. I prefer the honey Dijon. Doug, you're more of a Jack sauce guy. Try one of the famous sandwiches like the favorite chicken tender hoagie, crispy chicken topped with bacon and melted pepper jack cheese, piled high on top of a hoagie bun. Top it off with one of the great wing flavors. The Chicken Coop is where it's at. Get down. Kearney, Grand Island, downtown locations, both Kearney and Grand Island. Chicken Coop is where it's at.
Hey, Bob Jensen going to join us in just a moment. Kelly from Cozad fires in with an email, and it just, you know, it kind of reiterates all that we've been talking about and all that we've been heard, that we have heard here. Words that best describe the state of the Nebraska football team should be patience and perseverance. Off-season will be very grueling, and there will be many personnel changes, as many of the current players wouldn't even see the field back in the glory days of Husker football. I do see progress being made, even if it's with Billy C's players. The athletes are playing hard and are showing no quit attitudes, but sometimes that isn't enough. Many players will be parting ways voluntarily or involuntarily with the Huskers in the offseason, and the steps to success will continue to be climbed with the coaching staff and some of the current players still tagging along. The return to dominance is very dim, but that light can still be seen. They need some playmakers. Does Daddy still have eligibility? What's that got to do with playmakers, Kelly and Cozad?
No eligibility for the big fella here. No, and I wasn't much of a playmaker anyway, so I'm not sure that would help, but...
Before we get to Bob Jensen here, Nebraska senior Kelsey Griffin claimed one of five spots on the preseason All-Big 12 women's basketball team announced today. Griffin, the 6'2 forward from Eagle River, Alaska, joined Big 12 preseason player of the year Courtney Paris from Oklahoma, Kansas State's Shalee Lenning, Oklahoma State's Andrea Riley, and Texas A&M's Takia Starks on the preseason All-Big 12 team.
Doug, I know a lot of basketball things came out, but a little baseball note here before we get to Bob Jensen. Missouri baseball coach Tim Jamison signed a five-year extension through the year 2013. So he'll be around the Big 12 in baseball.
It's time now for this week's high school football preview on the Doug and Daddy Show with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report.
He's got game.
It is Wednesday, and we catch up with our favorite Central Cityan. That's right. We welcome to the program to talk high school football and all that is athletics on the gridiron in the state of Nebraska, Bob Magic Jensen.
Bob.
You know, there is a story there that I'm not at liberty to talk about. But I couldn't help but notice, you know, you always say when you go to church, you feel like the pastor, you know, when he does his job, he's talking only to you. Daddy, here a couple minutes ago when you were talking about, you know, going through life with your head down and needing something good to happen, I swear it sounded like you were talking to me.
Robert.
Holy moly.
What did you decide to go last week, Bob?
Well, I tell you what, last week I actually went down to the Southeast. A team in D1 that I kind of wanted to see for myself, Freeman. Freeman is undefeated. Their schedule is not strong, and I'm being polite here when I say that. They have absolutely demolished everybody they played, and once I got to look at them, you know, they got some pretty good sized boys in that offensive line. They got a real good junior class of athletes, from what I can tell. There's a kid by the name of Jordan Pella who I thought I would like, and after seeing him, he's a fullback defensive end. He's very good. And they got a bus boom at quarterback. You can't go wrong with that. So I think Freeman might be, I think they might be pretty good. I still think I would like to see them step up a couple notches, and they will have to here at playoff time. But for right now, a nice ball team that certainly has mastered its schedule. And the other place I went, and probably more noteworthy on a statewide level, the Beatrice Pius game. And, of course, those people treat each other very well, as they always do. Tremendous game for Beatrice. They took that thing right away and just absolutely turned the tables. You know, last week they were helpless against Waverly. you know, they allowed, I don't know, somewhere around 7,000 yards rushing that night, and got beat real badly. Well, they turned it around on Pius, and in fact, halfway through the second quarter, Pius had only snapped the ball five times, and Beatrice looked very good. So another name to know on that team, Justin Coleman. If you ever have a chance to see Beatrice play, the first thing you're going to notice is this kid. He plays quarterback. He moved there from wide receiver last year. He's an absolutely fabulous talent. So those are a couple of the places I went last week.
He went backwards. I think he played football at UNK for a few years. He was a pretty good one, too.
Well, no wonder. You know, I thought it was kind of funny that, he looked a little old. But
That's why they're so good.
Good.
Hey, Robert, let's talk a little Class A. Kearney comes up with a big win last week in Grand Island. Maybe has a tester for them this week. So our Class A schools setting in pretty good shape.
Oh yeah, you know, leading the class in playoff points, which is kind of immaterial at this point, really. I mean, they're going to get in. They're going to have a home game. They're going to do well. Is there anything better? Well, there is. But is there anything almost better than having a goal line stand to win the game on the road in a big game? I mean, really. I mean, it was going to be a pretty great bus ride home anyway. But to be able to kind of lock and load right there when they needed to the most, you know, that's a tremendous deal for Kearney. And, you know, here you go again. I mean, Kearney hasn't been they haven't been as consistent, I am sure, as Coach Cool and his staff want. But when they're good, they're like the girl with the curl. And when they're good, they're very good. And I don't know. We'll see what happens. You know, I can almost guarantee you that Cool is going to find a way to have his team hot come playoff time, and they are going to be tough to beat once we start playing in the postseason.
Bobby, guess what? Doug brought up Grand Island and the game with North Star this weekend. Do you give one team or the other the nod over the other?
Yes, Grand Island. And I'll tell you what, I like Grand Island is a tough, physical football team. You know, all teams take on, you know, they're kind of like dogs. They take on they take on the look of their master. Okay. Well, the thing with Tomlin, you know, Tomlin's a, you know, he's a tough guy. He wants to have a tough football team, and he's got one. And the thing is, they just can't beat Kearney. I don't know. I think they're going to have another chance to do it in the postseason, but if you take that game and remove it from the equation, there aren't a whole lot of teams in Class A that have played better than Grand Island in the last 6 weeks. North Star's got a nice team. They are at home. They do have some weapons on offense, and they can score from distance. But I don't think that's going to be enough. I think Grand Island's defense, I think old Braden Taylor's going to have a field day. And I think Grand Island wins the ball game and goes 7-1.
Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show as he does every Wednesday. We're just a couple of weeks away from playoff time for the smaller schools. And, you know, again, there's a lot of mismatches area in the schedule, but then there's also some intriguing matchups. Nobody's can beat McCook, but Holdridge is going to get their next shot here. McCook is at Holdridge. Ogallala is at Lexington, kind of setting us up for the big matchup between McCook and Ogallala, making sure that neither one slip up there. But we have a good one that I'll be at on Friday night, Kearney Catholic at Elm Creek. This late in the season, it's hard at any time to get a pair of undefeated teams going up against each other. And Kearney Catholic, this game stands between them and an 8-0 regular season, with Elm Creek having to play Kearney Catholic and Cambridge in the next 2 weeks. Again, defenses have been real solid for both these teams, Bob, but totally different offenses. Elm Creek likes to line up and run it over you. Kearney Catholic likes to throw it around you.
That is all true. That is all true. I just want to say one quick thing about that B district. That district has turned out to be a lot deeper and a lot more quality than people expected, or at least I certainly expected. But I think that was kind of hide your eyes last week with what Ogallala did. Ogallala, it seemed to me, was out to prove a point. I know there's a lot of buzz about McCook, but I'll tell you what, Ogallala's got a very good football team, and this is all or nothing for them. This game is coming up in 2 weeks is going to be a masterpiece. It could be McCook finds a way to win that ball game. I would suspect they would, but I got a feeling it's the real deal, and it will be a four-quarter game. As far as Kearney Catholic and Elm Creek, two of the great guys. I love telling the story of the fact that way long time ago in my career, I was the sports editor of the Fairbury newspaper, and I took it upon myself to include Chester Hubble Byron in our coverage. Although, frankly, I don't know if anybody over there ever got our paper. I wanted to go to those games, so I went. And indeed, there's a young coach there by the name of Stan Whistle, whose right hand man was Steve Sponberg. And I'm telling you what, you talk about a school lucking out in its hires. Two not only quality men, but outstanding coaches. And now Stan's got his team, you know, a bunch of guys back from last year, seven starters back on offense. Derek Foster's a playmaker at running back. Foster Meyer, playmaker at quarterback. They've got enough defense to win this game, but I'll tell you what, I got a feeling Carnegie Catholic wins the game, and the reason I think they're going to be able to win the game is I think that as many different things as Carnegie Catholic can do on offense, and Klingon Smith, he's a marvel. He can do the run-pass thing just fine. I think the power running game, in a game like this, I think Carnegie Catholic maybe just tries to line up and go right at Elm Creek the way Elm Creek likes to go. And I think in the end, Carnegie Catholic wins what probably will be a low-scoring ball game. And you're right, Elm Creek having to turn around and play Cambridge. Thank you, Mr. NSAA. But the fact is, both these teams are set up well for the playoffs. It'll be a great atmosphere, and it ought to be a very good ball game.
Robert, a little further to the west, Maxwell at Eustis Farnham. Who do you got?
Okay, boys, here's a little something maybe that nobody else has considered, okay? Now, I'm pretty sure I've got this right. First of all, Maxwell is very good, and I suppose if you asked anybody from Elwood this week, they'd probably agree with that. 61 points against Elwood was just incredible. And they've got some playmakers all the way around. This is a team that lost their leading rusher and their leading tackler. The leading tackler turns out to be playing down at Nebraska now. Yet, Maxwell is better this year than they were last year. They got a quarterback by the name of Brandon Stanger. Kid threw five touchdown passes the other night, all of them to a wide receiver by the name of Cody Calhoun. That kid is a junior, and I'm telling you what, the kid is a legitimate player. He's the kind of athlete that could move up to C1. That's what I measure all eight-man players by. Could they play at C1 level and be successful? The answer is yes. Maxwell's very good. Eustis Farm, where I got rolled up 3 weeks ago, I love telling that story. I did get rolled. They haven't lost, and they've got a very good team. The only thing that could stop Eustis Farm from winning this game is the National FFA Convention, because that's where all the kids are going. Okay? The National FFA Convention last year took many of Eustis Farnham's team's players in the first round of the playoffs. They showed up with completely shorthanded and absolutely got blasted in the first round of the playoffs. If they've got all their players there, Eustis Farm has got a good ball team, and they will make Maxwell work. But really, all hands on deck won't be enough, because I think Maxwell wins that ball game. And I think Maxwell, who's only lost to Hayes Center by 6 points in a game they very easily could have won, could be one of the real surprise teams in the playoffs in D1. I think they're a team that could go away. So quarterfinals, you know, get a break, maybe semifinals. We'll see what happens.
Bob Jensen joins us every Wednesday with Huskerland Prep Report. Check it out at HuskerlandPrepsRivals.com. Did I get that right, Bob?
That's close enough.
Yeah,
I got one word for you. Google.
Well,
that'll
hey,
fix it all.
Magic, we'll see you next week, huh?
Magic. Yeah, that's an interesting story. Somewhere down the road, Duda, we will have to talk about that privately and see if it cuts the mustard for public exploration, okay?
Have safe travels, Bob.
All right, man.
See
you. Guys are the best.
Thanks, Bob. He's better than the best. That's the bottom line. We're just here. He's everywhere. Bob Jensen here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll take a break. Be back and wrap things up on this Wednesday after this.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation with the Doug and Daddy Show, where their motto is,
if you can't be an athlete, be an athletic supporter.
Around here, we talk a lot about odds. This college football season, Dr. Pepper is bringing you great odds on winning some really great prizes. Just pick up some Dr. Pepper in the limited edition football cans and enter your code at drpepper.com for a 1-in-6 chance to win prizes, like a trip to a college conference championship game. And the more you drink, the more chances you have to win. Now, those are some great odds. Dr. Pepper football cans are going fast, but remember, drink it slow. Doctor's orders.
Hey, Kevin Harvick here, two-time NASCAR Nationwide Series champ. And when I'm not on the track, I need car insurance just like everyone else. That's why I just switched to Nationwide Insurance. I saved a lot on my car insurance, and you can too. Just call 877-NW-SERIES. That's 877-697-9600. 3743 for a quote today. Nationwide is on your side.
Products underwritten by Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and affiliated companies, home office, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval. Products and discounts not available to all persons in all states.
So I'm thinking it's that time of year, you know, football, beer season, but my wife thinks it's...
Honey, help me decorate the house in various shades of orange, throw fake leaves and plastic pumpkins everywhere.
Season, I need a break. Football and an ice-cold beer.
Escape to Cunningham's Journal Yard Good Time headquarters this fall. Cunningham's has every NFL game on every Sunday, all in high def. Enjoy food and drink specials, too. But don't wait till Sundays. Visit any night of the week and escape the...
Honey, help me.
Zone. Cunningham's Journal. Downtown Kearney.
Midwest Truck and Trailer Repair wants to let the Lady Swede softball team know how very proud we are of you and that we'll be cheering for you hard at state. Good luck from all of us here at Midwest, your complete truck and trailer repair service at 310 Cottonwood Road near the Frito-Lay plant in Gothenburg. Pepper Saloon is ecstatic for the girls on the Genoa Twin Rivers Titans softball team for making it to state. Everyone is proud of your good sportsmanship, fine skills, and team spirit, and will be rooting for the Titans to go all the way at state. Good luck from your fans at Pepper Saloon in Genoa.
Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at WeatherEye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
We'll see some lingering cloud cover early on yet today, followed by more clearing developing with a slight chance for a shower to the east of Kearney early. High temperatures reach near 57 with a north wind of 10 to 20. Tonight we'll see a hard freeze possible with partly cloudy skies and a low near 30. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 46.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Because of the rain, there's been some change to the Hastings College soccer program's games. Hastings women's soccer match versus Dana has been postponed. A makeup date has not been set. The men are going to move their game to Hastings. So Dana at Hastings, if you're going to watch some college soccer, you can go to Lloyd Wilson Field in Hastings tonight at 7 o'clock. The women's game has been postponed. Don't forget, coming up tomorrow, we're going to give you a chance for 5 qualifications to the Rocky Mountain Mile High Getaway from ESPN and Cunningham's, a trip before to see Kansas City play at Denver on December 7th. Tickets, hotel, spending cash, all that, all the details coming your way, and we'll give you a chance to get qualified tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show. Also tomorrow, we will have our NFL Power Rankings. We will catch up with the head football coach of the unbeaten Elm Creek Buffaloes, Stan Whistle, among our guests. Volleyball will be busy tomorrow for both Hastings College and UNK as they hit the road. Tell you what, we just can't say enough about the way those teams are playing right now, especially the Lopers, who have won 21 in a row, and Hastings College coaching change in midseason, and they continue to play pretty well as well. Nebraska plays tonight. Second-ranked Huskers host Baylor. The game is on Nebraska Educational Television, also on our sister station, The Breeze, 94.5. FM. Want to thank Andrew Logan of the Des Moines Register for joining us today. Bob Jensen from Huskerland Prep Report as well.
Hey, we look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 in Kearney, 1550 our friends in Hastings.
And good luck to all the softball teams competing in the state softball tournament the rest of the week in Hastings. Class A gets underway this afternoon at 2.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Drew. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game!
Hey!